All right, good morning.
Good afternoon already. It's afternoon already. Just 10. My name is Kenneth, and I am a staff in the cathedral working with the youth. So I'm a youth worker, dedicated and very passionate youth worker in the cathedral. I'm also an 1130 staff, which means that I contend and pray for the welfare of this service. And so I just finished my DTS, called Discipleship Training School for short. And during my DTS, God renewed my strength, God renewed my passion for Him, and dealt with the things that I was dealing with, especially for a long time. I lost my parents. I lost my father 2 years ago. I lost my parents, my mom when I was young. So to me, I had a lot of hurts in my heart. But, you know, coming to DTS has really helped me to really see who God is, for who He is, okay, and not how we perceive Him. And so when Pastor Harley said, hey, can you come and preach in 11:30, I'm like, actually, no, I don't think I'm ready. But, you know, we'll never really be ready. When we prepare sermons, we prepare with fear and trembling because we are preaching God's word, right? And I just want to share a little bit of who I am. So let's pray. Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you that you are God, that you are faithful, and your praise will ever be on our lips. Lord, I thank you that truly it is because of you that we are here. It's truly because of you that we can say, Abba, Father. It's truly because of you that we come to you directly. We do not need to put on a front. We do not need to put on a face. We do not need to put on a hat. But Lord, we can come to you just as we are. And so Lord, I pray that today you will speak to us. Speak to us from the depths of our heart. Search our hearts, Lord, for anything that is not of you. Father, I pray that you reveal it to us, that today we will know who you really are. We will come to a renewed relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're on this series called the Rooted series. And Rooted, I always have qualms about this word rooted, because what does it mean to be rooted? Does it mean that you are stuck? You are so rooted, you're stuck? Or does it mean that you are so rooted that you can grow more? And between these two, I'm always thinking, where are we as a service in 11:30? Where are we in terms of being rooted? Are we rooted that we are stuck? Or are we rooted that we are growing? How many of you think we're first one? We are rooted until we're stuck. Oh, nobody. That means everybody's too lah. How many think we're rooted that we're growing? Okay, the rest of you are on the fence, as per usual. Next slide. Wait, can I try and do this back? Okay, front. Okay, well, so cool, it vibrates too. Okay, can I qualify three things before I start? Number one, this is my very first time preaching in a service. My very, very first time. I don't know if it will be my last. I don't know, Pastor Harley, if it will be my last time. But it's my very first time. And so I'm pretty nervous. As the youth can tell, I preach in Ling very differently. Here you have to be very careful with your words, right? And I'm so pretty nervous. Can I qualify? Number two is that I don't like preaching. I find preaching is like farting in a room, and then you walk out of the room, and then everybody smell your fart. Okay. But having said that, because I'm part of the 11:30 service, I have to smell my own fart lah. Okay. But however, I believe in the pulpit ministry. I believe that whatever is said here will not return void, will not return to God void, will not just pass by you. As you have a heart of openness, as you have a heart of deep longing for God, I believe that it can change your life. And number three is something I would qualify here first. For those of you who don't know me, I'm very passionate, very brash at many times. And some of you might find some of what I'm saying quite offensive. So I will apologize first. I'll apologize first if you're offended, but sermons are never meant to condemn you. Sermons are always meant to exalt God and exalt, okay? So that's not my intention, but if I offend you, I'm sorry first. Okay, we're going to do a short discussion. Just pair up and discuss this question. If you were Satan, the adversary, the enemy, God's one and only hated enemy, all right, what would you do to destroy the Christian? What would you do to destroy the church? What would you do to destroy what we have here? All right, just pair up, and then I will just call out for some answers. Just shout it out. Okay, can you do that? All right, pair up, and we'll just do a two-minute one. What will you do? What will be your main offense against the church and God's people today? All right, 15 more seconds. What will be your main attack on the church today? Don't stay in Satan's shoes for too long, okay? Just think about it and then quickly tell me. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, good. All right, can I hear some answers? Maybe from this side first, the back. Anyone? What will be your main attack on the church today? Silence. Maybe that's an attack. Okay, I don't know. What about this side? Anyone? Yes. Give everybody everything. Everybody everything they want. Okay. Yes, that's what Satan did. All right, in the desert. Jesus, if you have everything, I offer you everything, you just kneel down to me. Yes, very good. What else? Give them everything they want. Yeah, shout out the answer. Make them offended with one another. Yeah, sure. As long as you hate each other, you don't have to be a church, right? What else? Fear and discouragement, that's right. As long as I fear, I don't need to worship God. That's right. Make them confused about God's word. Make them confused about what we're saying here. Yeah, sure. Hey, you guys make really good enemy. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Anyone else? Last call? Well, sorry? Lies. Yeah, tell them lies. Do you think that Satan is not already doing all these things? Do you think the enemy is not already at play in our heads, in our church? Do you think Satan is here in 11:30? For sure. All the time in our heads. But Satan's main offense to all of us is not just the thought of he's going to put lies in your head. But his main offense, right, is actually to dabble with the Word of God with you. When the church loses the authority of God's Word in their personal, which is individual, your individual lives, and as a corporate service, when you lose that power, the authority of God's word, when the word of God just becomes a thing you just maybe read on Sunday once a week, once a month. Some of you, your Bibles are still dusty from the cover, right? The church loses the authority to be salt and light. It loses the authority to reach out. And so Satan's main offense is on the word. Let's go to the parable, famous parable. Sorry, Harley, there are a lot of words on the slide. He told me not to put so many words on the slide, but I decided to put the whole Bible passage on it. Matthew 13, 3-8. Shall we read together? Can you see it? Let's try and read together. 1, 2, 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus was not just talking about sowing, was he? He was not talking about seeds. He was not just talking about soil. He was talking about people. Because he knew the crowd that he was talking to was a crowd of people that were mixed. Very much like our service. Different kind of soil. When I was in India for my DTS, we had to go for a mission trip. The Lord downloaded this on me for the service. I was praying for the service, and he downloaded me the parable of the sower. He was sharing with me that the people are like a different soil. What exactly does the parable mean? Jesus explains this. We read together, 1, 2, 3. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Jesus himself explains the parable of the seed, which is God's word, planted in the hearts of different kind of soil. The first kind of, I'm going to go through the four kinds, all right? The seeds along the path has got to do with the mind, has got to do with the understanding. Most of the time we read the word, I don't understand. The enemy immediately snatches it away. And this is very normal, okay? Especially for new believers. They try to believe something, they try to open up the book, try to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And they read it, they don't understand it, they give up. Alright, and these are seeds along the path. And so the mind is a very, very, it's the devil's playground. Right, it's able to take away, add things from your mind. They don't understand, they give up on God's word and the enemy snatches it away immediately. The second kind is the shallow soil. Gets very excited about God. God, oh, hallelujah, let's show, give me the latest Hillsong album, you know, very fast. But the minute persecution comes their way, the minute trouble comes their way, they're out of the door, man. They're out of the church. Met people like that? The third one is the thorns. The thorns are the, I would say, the dangerous kind. Because the Bible never said they didn't grow. Actually, they grew pretty well, okay? Has to do with the eyes. What they want is from their eyes, what they see, how they desire. So they actually grew really well, but over the years, other things start to take up their time. Other things start to take priority instead of God. Other things start to have more meaning than God. And of course, there's the good soil. It's got to do with the will and choice. Those who hear it and understand it, they end up practicing. They end up following, struggling with these things. They end up bearing 30, 60, 100. Satan's biggest offense is the authority of God's word in your heart. But make no mistake, the adversary is waiting to pounce, to take it away. He's even trying to take away what I'm trying to say now to you right now. That's the enemy. The enemy is here. But he has no power. But he can tell you lies. What about the life of the church? What about the life of 11:30? We come here, we worship God, we hear a good sermon, we go back, and our lives absolutely does not change. We come back next Sunday, repenting for why it has not changed. And then we go back on Monday, and it's absolutely the same. I had an argument with the leadership team a couple of weeks back about the atmosphere in the 11:30 service. I don't think this 11:30 service was built for nothing or for fun or because there was a big age group that needed a service. I believe that God had a special purpose and meaning for this service. But Satan is cunning in taking that away from us. The promised land is there within sight, but he makes sure you are going away. So Satan's big offense is the authority of God's word. Today, the God's word is just a suggestion to all of us. It's no more an authority. Do you think it can happen in Singapore? If the word of God does not disciple the church, then evil will. I know it's my first time, but this is a strong message. It is not an easy message, but it requires a deep revival within us, a bit shaking up that we need. Who knows if in the future, if the church is not, you know, if the word of God doesn't disciple the church, what will? Anything can come out from the service where we are looking like we're worshiping God, but we are not. Let me bring you all the way to Scotland. How many of you have been to Scotland? Oh, so many. Wales, how many of you have been to Wales? Oh, great. Beautiful place, isn't it? I was in London 5 years back for the Olympics. And they say that if you take a car, you can go all the way down to Wales, but you have to reach in a couple of 10, 20 hours. But in Wales, what happened in Wales? There was such a thing called the Welsh Revival. People came to God. Thousands of young people experienced God's divine power. Young people just went to other churches and said, I'm going to preach the word of God to you. They just went around. And they started to be very excited for God. Okay? This guy is called Evan. Can I zoom in? Okay. Evan Roberts, this is the evangelist who was sparked the revival in the Welsh revival. All right? He claimed that at the age of 25, how many of you are 25 and below? 25. Man, God woke him up. I know what it means. I know what it means to be woken up by God in the middle of the night. Every day, man, until there was a Welsh revival. And during that revival, families were transformed. Healing took place. Everywhere, churches were shooken up, ignited in their neighboring countries. All right, even in Scotland, there were so many churches that were growing. All right, it was estimated 150,000 people came to faith that year. Many churches were planted in that area. What happened to the Welsh revival today? Anyone may guess? Thanks, Josh. Today, the Welsh churches are up for sale. 300,000, cheaper than your HDB. You want to buy a church? Go to Wales. Because people do not believe in the word of God anymore, they have stopped going to church. Until people say, I don't need this building. What, can it happen in Singapore? Why not? One day our cathedral just come here, take picture, and you go home. Really closer to Asia. Do you know Korea? How many of you know Korea? Been to Korea? Oh, not so many as Wales. Shocking. Contrary to popular beliefs, the Word of God started the big revival here in Korea, in the north of Korea. Not the south, in the north. In a place called Pyongyang. You know Pyongyang? Pyongyang. Tell you a bit more about the Pyongyang Great Revival. Look at these pictures. Hundreds of thousands in the rally. Tens of thousands seated in the church until no place to sit. Here I still got empty seat. Newcomers can come. New people coming, sit down in front. No place to stand, all standing behind. 1907 to 1910, the Pyongyang Great Revival. Pyongyang in Korea that time, before the Korean War, right, in 1907 was known as the city of wine, women, and song. A dark city in the early 20th century. Sin abounding. They even have a geisha school. You know, a geisha school? Like, to be a hostess, you got to go to school and get a degree, you know. And they even had one of those. They were the TTC of geisha. No offense, Frika's not here, okay. And after persistent prayer, that very year, 1907, 50,000 people were converted, came to God. Just say, God, I am a sinner. Knelt down in front, 50,000 men. Not 500. Our service is only 120. 50,000 people came and said that. All right. That particular revival lasted up to 40 years. All right. In 1982, they saw 110,000 converts. No more 50,000. 110,000 converts. All right. And this is 1980s, which is quite recent, right? Thinking about it. All right. In 1982 to 83, they saw 230,000 converts within their church. And in 1984, the pastor of the mega church said, you know, the growth was 12,000 new converts each month. Who want to guess how many new converts we have in cathedral each month? Anyone guess? English, Chinese, Burmese, Indonesian, everything combined. You know how many? Under 50. 12,000 each month. I'm very shocked at the Pyongyang Great Revival. According to statistics, 1 in 3 person in Korea was a Christian. That's a very high statistics. In Singapore, you know how many people are Christians? In every 10, less than 2. There in every 10, there's 3. Okay, so it's high. But what do you think is happening now in Korea? Many scandals came out in the church, either due to money or sex or whatever. All right. More and more South Korean, young adults especially, were very disillusioned with the church. What about Singapore? What about us? Where did we get our faith from? Which great revival? Who knows him? Put up your hand. You've actually heard him. You actually went to one of his rallies to hear him. Thank you. 1, 2, 3. The young people today don't know, not born yet. Right? But it is true. Billy Graham, the great evangelist of our time, came and sparked a revival here in 1978, 40 years, exactly 40 years from today. There was a big revival in ACS, Dunedin, and St. Andrew's Sec. People were praying in the school. Can you believe it? How many of you are from these schools? Put up your hand.
They were praying like never before. They were worshiping. They were coming together. They were confessing their sins. They were throwing away their pawn CDs. That was a great revival that day. That age, 1970s, 78. That was a great revival at that time. 1978, Billy Graham Crusade. 337,000 people came. The stadium can take 50,000, right? The old stadium, this thing, 1978. 3,000. A lot of your parents were there. Came to God and say, God, I am. This is who I am. Change me. I accept you in my life. It was estimated about 19,600 people gave their life to Christ. That's not a small number for Singapore. That is a really big number. That's 20,000 people. Thousands of young people entered into God's kingdom. Passionate. TCA was birthed in 1979. Big Bible rallies, people coming to get serious with God, cell group, whatever. All happening in the 70s, 80s. Many of your parents' time. And Christianity, not bad, grew from 12.7 to 14.6. And then now, in 2015 latest, 18%. What happened to Singapore now? A survey was done among pastors around the churches, and they were talking, you know, what are the challenges of churches today? And this is what they said. New waves of self-centered worship. A lot of the songs about me, my feelings, my emotions. Minister to me, oh God, me, it's all about me. Easy discipleship. You want to follow God? Come to church, write your name here. Nobody really cares how you're doing your spiritual walk. Nobody really asks you anymore. Nobody asks, hey, how's your quiet time? Hey, don't ask, taboo. Make my friend get angry with me. Optional obedience. You want to follow, you feel like it, you follow. You don't feel like it, you don't follow. Try out. Walking away from basic Christian disciplines. I myself am guilty of this. Solitude, silence, fasting, Sabbath, secrecy, submission. Do half of you know what half of this means? All these are Christian basic disciplines that we ought to follow, ought to be taught, but now never follow, never taught. Don't care. Hey, check out this one. Bible illiterate. When you ask them about the Word of God, they only can tell you Bible stories. And even that, they get it wrong. Oh, my Sunday school teacher, I forgot what my Sunday school teacher taught me. And so the ever-changing society is just changing without us considering who God is or what God says. Or who God is in my life, or who God is in my service and my church. We just change. When I was in DTS, I live in Geylang, Lorong 9. That's where they house us all to study God's word and to really be together. And so I'll play table tennis with Josh, and we will. And at 6 p.m., there'll be. Opposite where I stayed, there's a famous frog porridge. How many of you know that place? No, you don't eat frogs. Sure. And in that frog porridge place at 6 p.m., they will kill the frogs. But how would they do it? Okay, they have a big 8-foot tank. All the frogs are inside with cold water. And then they're like jumping, they're feeling great. And then there'll be this hose with all the hot water inside there, at the top there. And they will fill it in. We with hot water. By 6:30, not a single soul is left alive. And by 8:30, it's in your stomachs, right? The question was asked, how do you kill a frog? You don't catch it because it's going to jump. You let it be comfortable where it is. So comfortable that it is dying without knowing. Before you know it, it's dead. And I think that's what happened to the revival in Singapore. Before we knew it, it was dead. This is my personal opinion. Don't quote me. But before we knew it, we were dead inside. We were a frog porridge. Bible says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God penetrates to our hearts. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When was the last time the word of God touched your heart, penetrate through your soul, change your life, transform your thoughts? Maybe that was a long time ago. Maybe when I ask you about God now, you tell me a story 10 years ago. The living word is active today, the Bible says. It is a sad truth, but I have to accept it. I wondered, how did it all change in a mere 40 years? Now it's not that people are not coming to church. People are. But they're coming to a church that's dead, and they are dead too. The 11:30 vision. You know this vision? Statement? Real, rooted, reaching. Rooted in Christ, rooted in the Word, rooted in community. Last week we heard about rooted in community. Week before we heard from Charlotte, week before we heard from Reverend Peter Cook, rooted in worship. Before that was Charlotte, rooted in prayer. Sorry, I changed the picture, Crystal, sorry. I changed the colors. You know we have a great vision to ignite the next generation for God. But you know what helps the vision? It's the hearts of the people. If not, our vision will just look nice on paper or on the AGM or something or on a PowerPoint slide like right now. We have a desire for God like never before in this time and age. And God will not be mocked, especially in this time. He's gathering his people back to his word, back to life, back to love. But how many of you are all in together today? Is the question I will ask you. I can't force you, neither can I put a gun on your head. But it's the question I will ask you. If you can make a radical change for God and start reading his word and don't be a Bible illiterate, I can promise you, God will show you great things he has never shown anybody before. How do we know whether we are deeply rooted? A Anyone? You're right. I like mangoes. Exactly. How do we know we are fruitful? It's by your fruits. And how do we know they were unfruitful? By no fruits. I've ended earlier than I thought. But I want to say this first. Yeah, maybe I get the worship team to come up and prepare. I want to say this to all of you, okay? I didn't come to this service, we the leadership didn't come to this service to play around, to try something new, to try new songs in worship. We didn't come here to do that. We are here to seek the heart of God in this place. I don't know if it's you or if it's not you, yet I cannot force you. But if your heart is transformed by the word of God, see to it that He will be faithful, as we sang, and He will not let you go. But as long as you're away from His word, as long as the word of God does not be the authority of your life, you can be sure that your life will struggle because we are always longing for God. You will struggle. I'm not saying that if the word of God is authority, you won't struggle. But you struggle with hope. You struggle with faith, with love. My dream for the 11:30 is that one day we will be fruitful and hopeful in God. We can change lives. We talk to people, we're not scared to talk about Jesus, you know. Because Jesus is the authority in our life. He changed our life. But if He didn't change your life, how you talk about Jesus? Cannot. If you've been a lukewarm Christian for a long time, maybe today is a change. Maybe today is the day you say, God, I want to come back to your word. God, I want to come back to you. I'm not playing around anymore. I'm not fulfilling my 2 hours of Sunday. Thank you for being very patient. Hearing me. We'll sing this song. Shall we rise together? Yeah, and we'll sing this.
It used to be for creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. Used to be for my faith.